Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Hislop, and I want to thank you for tuning into this episode. Today, I'm interviewing Kennedy Hafner. She goes by the name The Healthy Half on Instagram. I met her through the amazing community on there, and she has so much insight and knowledge and wisdom. She's just 22 years old, and it really goes to show that age is just a number. We talk about all things living in your 20s, trying to navigate life and figure out who you are. I know for myself, I'm going through somewhat of an identity crisis, but, you know, figuring out who I am and who I want to be. And she has some great advice. She's also going through the similar kind of path that I am right now. And I think a lot of people are. So I think this is an episode that if you are in your 20s, you will definitely understand what we're talking about and you can connect to this episode. So I totally recommend that you keep listening if you are in the same position. I'm going to get into this episode right away, and I thank you for tuning in again. So I want to introduce Kennedy to the podcast. She's coming on here. She just moved to Portland, Oregon. I'm so excited for her. I'm hopefully going to go visit her one day. So I'm going to get her to give you some background about herself and who she is.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Like, it's seriously, it's such an honor. I've been on one podcast before and I had so much fun. And so I've kind of just been itching to get back into like podcasting. So it's fun to be here. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm Kennedy. I just moved to Portland, Oregon. I'm 22 years old. And at the moment, I'm kind of just trying to learn how to navigate life. I'm on Instagram at The Healthy Half. It's an account that I started in college, actually. I was a sophomore or a junior in college and kind of just was trying to navigate like my relationship with health and food. I was raised in a really healthy household, but like when I started making my own choices, I kind of a little bit like let myself just go. And in college, I just didn't understand health. And so getting back into it, I decided to start sharing my journey, and The Healthy Half was born. And 3 years later, I'm still doing it, still absolutely loving it, and like truly think that it was one of like the biggest blessings that's happened in my life so far. And it's given me so many cool opportunities and actually the ability to like move here to Portland, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit as well. But yeah, thank you for having me on your podcast. It's super fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And before we started recording, Kennedy and I were kind of talking about your 20s, and this is kind of what we want to talk about in this episode, because we're both in the same headspace of navigating your 20s. And even on my Instagram stories the other day, I was like, your 20s are rough. Like, the things that you thought you knew, you don't actually know, and you don't know anything about finances. At least I don't really. Trying to learn about retirement funds, everything like that. But what kind of prompted you to like move from Florida to Oregon?
I've always loved the Pacific Northwest. So I actually went to college out here for 2 years, and I went to high school for 1 year. Like, I'm something that I guess you'll learn about me is like, I'm very, I love change. And I really don't mind the process of change at all. And I actually thoroughly enjoy change. And I think that it's super cool to get outside of your comfort zone. So I actually went to college out in the Northwest and a part of high school out here too. And I just kind of fell in love with like the culture of it. And there was really no true reason why I picked Portland, except for every time that I visited here, like my heart felt very like at home. And last March, I took like a big extended trip out here, visited like Vancouver, BC. I went to Seattle, and then I came down here to Portland, and it was my first time like ever exploring Portland by myself. And in that moment, I was like, I have to live here. And ever since then, it's been one of those things on the back burner that I was like, wait, I'm actually going to like move there someday, but like it's not really practical at the moment. And I lived at home the whole year after college. And then kind of when I was deciding like where to next, I was like, Portland always just feels good to me. So here I am. And I always laugh because I say things like, oh, I'm going to live this place, or like, I want to do this thing. And then like, somehow I always like, my family jokes about it too. Like, I always make it happen. And when I say something, something, like I mean that I'm going to do it. So being here just kind of feels very full circle from like a year ago, basically, when I said that I wanted to move here. And I've been here for 2 weeks now, and it's been such a dream. It's so fun, so crazy to like move into my first place and kind of learn what that means. And I mean, I moved in alone and learning how to like manage, I guess, just being on my own, my own life, my first like step into adulthood. Yeah.
It's very scary, but exciting at the same time. And I think just like your early 20s, you're really discovering who you are as a person, who you want to be, where your life's going. And it's very intimidating, but can be very rewarding. And what has been one of the most rewarding moments so far in this moving process that you're just like, okay, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and you're just kind of growing into it?
I honestly think that the most rewarding part to this is I feel like it's truly my first step into who I am and who I want to be and who I'm becoming. And I feel like in college and even living at home for a year, like it was such a good experience, but at the same time, there was so much set like structure and so much like so many things that were like expectations. Like, you know, when you're in college, like people are giving you like homework and you know that you have to do these things. And I think just moving in on my own, the most rewarding thing is knowing that like I currently get to create whoever I want to become and whoever like my day-to-day habits that I'm currently creating are like setting up my life and my enjoyment and just the process of getting to discover like who I am on my own is something that I know is rewarding currently, but will like definitely continue to be rewarding for like, I guess my life and for years to come.
Mm-hmm. And what has been the most challenging aspect of this whole moving situation and learning process as you know, get everything sorted out in your new place? And I think the biggest thing that people are always concerned about when they move, they're like, how am I going to meet people? And have you kind of started to step into that and started to branch out and meet new people?
So obviously moving anywhere, anytime is very difficult. And I think that I have to be honest and say that I think that I underestimated what the process would already be like. And it was kind of funny. So I guess moving here, like I know a few people from my college who have relocated to living here. And I know a few people through Instagram and the internet. And funny enough, one of them actually lives in my apartment building. And so I'm actually meeting up with her like later today. And it's like, it's really cool how you can connect with people through the internet. But putting yourself out there is something that I think is so difficult to do, but it's also super rewarding. So my first weekend here alone, I decided to go to this event that I saw on somebody's, reposted on somebody's Instagram. It was like this cute little yoga event somewhere. And I went alone and I got there and it was a group of about 20 people and everybody had come with a friend. And I was literally just sitting there on my yoga mat alone. And I looked like over the person next to me and I was like, and I just sat there for a second and I was like, what do I do with myself? Like when you're alone, like you usually like have like a buffer of a friend or someone to be like, oh, like let's talk amongst ourselves until we like, you know, mingle with other people. But eventually I was like, no, like I have to make this happen for myself. Like I have to be the one to be like, hey, my name's Kennedy. Like what's your name? Like whatever the conversation starter is, like it's not going to happen for me unless I do it. I live on my own. So obviously like I have to put myself out there to meet people. And funny enough, like actually like the girl that I started talking to on my yoga mat next to me, I was getting into my car to leave and she like ran out the door really quick. And she was like, you know, I think that it's a really cool thing that you came here alone and that everybody else had a friend, but like that didn't let that like stop you from like coming and doing what you wanted to do. And for me, that was like something that like, I took a deep breath and I was like, whoa, like, thank you. I think again, like acknowledging like that it's, I wouldn't even call myself brave. That sounds wrong. But like, I think that living on your own and trying to meet people is difficult. And especially after college, because the deal is in college, you have literally the opportunities are endless. Everybody's doing what you're doing, or even, you know, anywhere you are, that's like more of a concentrated environment of people who are in the same lane, I guess you could say, as you are. Whereas here, I could go through my whole day, my whole week, my whole month, and I wouldn't have to see anybody if I really didn't want to. And even then, finding commonalities with people is something that's really a lot harder to do when you don't have a natural connection with someone. Like, you go to the same college, or you share the same major, or many things like that. But I think if you boil it down, all people want connection. And even if that just means, you know, sitting at a community table at a coffee shop with someone and just, you know, striking up a conversation with whoever's next to you, like, it doesn't have to be a lifelong friendship. But I think that understanding that you need and crave connection has been something for me that I'm already starting to realize, like, I do need to get out and I do need to meet people and I do need to just be okay with striking up conversations with people or anything like that. Because I mean, we all want the connection. And so it's just about putting yourself out there enough to make one.
Mm-hmm. And I can totally agree with that. I think it's like the thing that holds people back is that they're so scared of what the other person's going to think of them. And it's like literally the worst that's going to happen is the person just going to be like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you, but I truly believe that's not going to happen.
I think that's so fair too. And I mean, you know, and if the person does shut you down, like, that's fine. Again, like, don't tell yourself no before someone else does, you know. It's, and it's not even like I'm trying to like make advances on people.
Exactly.
I'm just meaning like, you know, like, I'm just like, hey, like, can I sit here? And usually, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, for sure. And then like later on in the conversation, typically, like, for some reason, like, I think especially like somewhere here, like Portland, like a ton of people work from coffee shops and like, we're all kind of working for ourselves or like, you know, remote positions. And so a lot of times you probably have a commonality with somebody else that's at the coffee shop at 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, you know, like,
mm-hmm. It's like they have that kind of freelancer mindset and they understand where you are, and you can definitely find some commonalities with those people in Portland.
Yeah. And I think there's no shame in saying hi. And I think that's the funny thing too, you know, like, I think that we do so much to make ourselves into like these little hermits in public where it's like, we put on our buffers, like you put in your headphones and you, you know, stick your face really far down into your computer and you like tighten yourself up so you're not like too close to the person around you. But it's like, that's not why you go, like, even like just introduce yourself, say hello. Like, the next time you're in a yoga class, say hi to the person next to you before the class starts and spin. Like, you go to find community, and that's like truly the purpose of why people go to coffee shops to work, is to find like the connection with someone next to them. Like, mm-hmm. You're not alone then.
And like, you never really know who you're going to meet and like what experiences they're going to have.
Exactly. And you just truly never know who you're going to connect with next. And I think that's the coolest part about putting yourself out there. And I mean, I've never had to do it in this setting before, so I guess I'll let you know how that goes. But like, I think in time it becomes more and more natural too, to just start, once you put yourself out there for the first time and you get all nervous, and which is silly because you're literally saying hi to somebody, but the next time you do it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And it's just the practice of speaking with strangers.
Mm-hmm. It's like the practice of Instagram stories. Like, like literally me, I'm like, okay, talking to my phone is really hard for me. Like, talking to my phone and posting it on the internet is very challenging. But if I do it more and more, I'm like, the more comfortable I actually get and like the more relaxed I am when I come on. But it's like, definitely if I think of the number or if I think of who might be watching it, I just can't think about that. Like, that would destroy me.
Oh my gosh. I so know what you mean, because there was a time that I would literally record a story and my hand would be shaking so much. And then eventually I was just like, I actually enjoy watching people. This sounds horrible. I'm not meaning this to like take people down a notch. I'm saying like, I actually enjoy it when people don't post a perfect Instagram story, when they're just like, other things are going on and they stutter over their words and they stumble, because I think, again, we're all looking for human connection. And if you're trying to put yourself out on the internet as this like superhuman that doesn't make mistakes and has a perfect life, like, you won't find the connection that you need because people think that they can't relate to you in that sense. So it's like, I think that taking down your own barriers about like perfectionism and like, you know, how you appear to others and to yourself, like, is honestly, that's always a work in progress. But especially for people like us who put ourselves constantly out on the internet for people to watch, and they don't even have to give you their feedback, and they make their own perceptions about who you are in your life and various things like that, that it is intimidating to continue day after day. I mean, to put yourself out there and and allow yourself to be an imperfect human in front of everybody.
And I think that's something I've even been working on, because I used to be like, this perfect story, it's like perfectly created and it looks beautiful, but like at the same time now I'm like, I am who I am. I'm not here for other people to accept me. If you want to follow along my journey, that's cool. I screw up a lot. I stutter over my words and like literally Instagram stories every day. I share pointless memes and I'm like, this is me, you know, take it or leave it, make what you want of it. But for a long time, I have to say, I did struggle with that like perfectionism and always re-recording my stories if they weren't perfect. But like you said, the more and more you watch people's stories who they're not perfect and maybe they have like a stain on their shirt and they're nervous or whatever's going on, you're like, okay, that person is actually a person and this isn't just a company, you know?
No.
So, and I think that kind of leads us into the whole Instagram world. And right before we started recording, we talked about the business side of Instagram and what people really don't see. Like, it's a complete, it is grind work, people, like 100% grind work. Like, I never thought, I didn't come into this thinking, you know, I want to be an influencer as society has labeled us. Yeah. I don't love that term, but it's like, you know, I think it takes that human aspect out of Instagram when you say influencer or if you say brand, because it's like, actually we're all just humans creating content hoping to inspire people to maybe make a healthier recipe, to be nicer to someone, to uplift their days. And that takes that kind of side of human connection out of it when we start placing labels like influencer or brand or anything like that. Like, we're not on there to try and sell people product, but at the end of the day it comes down to how much time you're putting into something. And there is a bottom line for every single person. At the end of the day, you can't pour 40 hours into something and not break profit. But a lot of people don't see this side of Instagram and the hard work that goes behind it. But what are some things that you have kind of learned along the way that you never thought that you would kind of have to deal with, or terms that you were like, I don't know what that means? You have to delve a little bit further into them to figure out what brands wanted from you. And like, basically we're just going to talk about the back end of Instagram.
The back end of Instagram. Honestly, so I studied business in college, and throughout my time studying business, I keep saying this like recently of like this whole thing of like, I never used to think of my Instagram as a business, but now that it is my full-time job, I have to kind of treat it, I guess you could say, like a business, because it is, but it's kind of strange when your business is very personal. And so like, you know, and we talked about this before the episode started, I never set out to be a recipe developer, and I will never pose myself to be one. Like, I think there are many fabulous people out there making recipes, and I'll be the occasional one that makes something really good. And I'm like, wait, I need to share this. This is good. But I'm not sitting in my kitchen trying 8 different iterations of a bread or anything like that, because that's not why I came into the space. And I think that initially, so I get a question, like, that sounds like I get a question about my skincare. No, I used to get this question far more than I do now, but I used to get the question a lot of like, hey, I'm thinking about starting an Instagram. How would you suggest that I start? And my initial question is always like, well, why do you want to start? Like, what's the purpose of this? Because I think that in a perception of like a I guess you could say, like, if you want to label us as content creators, then in the content consumer society, it looks and appears as if content creators are kind of just living their best lives. They're opening all these cute packages from brands and, you know, and of course, like, you're like, oh, I want in on this. Like, let me just, like, kind of, I guess, like, try to make my way into this. But I think that what people don't see is, like, that's not the purpose, I guess you could say, of why anybody should start an account or would start an account. And so that's, like, my first question of, like, well, why do you want to start? And then I kind of get into it more of, like, my story of being, like, you know, like, I never created this to be a full-time anything or into a business, or I never thought that I would have the ability to even partner. I didn't even know if this would ever take off. Here's the deal, though, is that what I did is I said, I'm going to give this my all and I'm going to be consistent with this. Not even for a money purpose or for anything like that, but just because I was on my own personal journey that I felt the desire to share. And so for me, like, it felt like it came naturally and it was sustainable for me to continue because I wasn't in it trying to get money from brands and I wasn't in it to get gifts or anything like that. And so for me, then 3 years later down the line, like, even just, I mean, it's honestly, it's recently that I've even been able to work with brands. And even then, like, I'm very selective with the people that I would even consider to partner with. But what people really don't see is the behind the scenes of it, like the prep work for working with a brand or the, you know, the continued admin work of, like, behind the scenes, sitting on your computer, trying to, you know, hash out details. And I guess organization is something that I've continued to be learning and, like, understanding, you know, how to create content for brands that also fits your design. Because ultimately, like, if I'm putting it on my account, like, it needs to be natural to me. And if it's not, then I won't take it. Like, I won't post it. I won't create it. Like, if it doesn't feel good to me, then it won't feel good to anybody else because it shows that it's not a good fit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just think that there's so much intentionality behind, like, why you do what you're doing. And that gives you the sustainability to continue doing whatever you're doing, whether it be posting to Instagram, your YouTube, anything, a podcast, like, anything that requires your time, energy, and especially creative energy. I think you have to continue to find your passion in it. And you have to understand that, like, as long as you're passionate about it, the people will follow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even 100%. Saying that as in like your numbers will follow, but, like, there will be people that find what you were doing so fascinating and inspiring, and it should and will look different from everybody else out there because you're your own person. And I would really hope that it wouldn't look like somebody else's stuff. Like, my version of wellness is definitely different than even your version of wellness, I'm sure. And I hope that your version is different than everybody else's. And I think that in a content creation society, it's really easy to try to put a definition on, like, what something should look like, even though it really should look different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I think
that's creating an account, like, make it look like your own. It's you.
Mm-hmm. And I think the pressure comes down to, like, there are pressures that definitely surround social media. And it's like, in your bio, it's like, who are you within, like, what is it, 100 characters or something? And you're like, I don't know. I like a lot of things. Like, I'm
what
not,
does your bio say?
Mine is like, I have a few words in it. So, like, I think mine, I can't remember because I made this forever ago, but it's like, a human being. I think another thing that I have, I'm like the host of the Naked Podcast, which we're doing right now. What else? I think it's like plant-based recipes, something like that. And then I want to add the word inspiration though soon, because I want to just be like general inspiration. Maybe it's home decor, which is something I've kind of thought about getting into. Maybe if I move, which we talked about, but why not? Like, it doesn't have to be one thing, because I think wellness is more than just the food we eat, more than just the exercise we do every day. It's like literally everything around us and how we allow it to affect us and how we want to integrate those things into our lives. Like, having minimal decor to me and having minimal items is like a part of wellness. And I'm sure that I see that in your space. Like, you have so many plants. So, like, what are some of your tips for for living in a, like, a good environment, like in a home environment?
Man, living in a home environment is something I've obviously been defining in the last few weeks for myself. But I think that, like, I mean, not even to, like, you know, quote Marie Kondo, but, like, basically, like, just finding things that every time I see the item, it makes me really happy. Like, I have bought more things and returned more things in the last 2 weeks than I ever have in my whole life, because, like, I see it at the store and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I get it in my new apartment and I'm like, this is not where, what, like, would bring me joy in this space, or, like, this isn't practical, or, you know. And for me, like, very much at the moment, like, less is more, not only because it's financially responsible, but because I think that if I had too many things in here, it would feel quite overwhelming. And so for me, like, I found key pieces and I invested in these key pieces. And, you know, like, I spent far more money on my couch than I had planned to. But for me, that was important because I want this space to feel comfortable when people come over. And that's where people sit when they come and hang out with you. And I wanted my space to be functional. So I bought a table that I could also work at. And so I didn't buy a desk, and, you know, and just little things like that, of just, like, investing in, like, quality pieces for me, which a lot of people, I feel like, in their first apartment don't do, just because everything feels so disposable. But I wanted to create, like, a space and, like, an oasis for myself to be creative and to feel very at home, but to feel comfortable, and for other people to be able to come in and feel comfortable in my home. Like, that means the world to me. And so, like, even being able to, like, I have such, like, a little giddy sense of, like, when I show people my space and they're like, oh, this is nice. Like, I feel like it's, like, cozy and comfortable. Like, that's, like, wow, you just made my life. Like, thank you. Like, I want this place to feel like, I don't even know how to explain it, I guess, but, like, I want this place to feel like somewhere where I can be well at all times, in all shapes and all forms. Like, I want my kitchen to feel, you know, clean and healthy, and I want it to feel like a place that I can be creative. And I want my couch to feel like a place that I can, like, hang out and lounge. And I want my table to feel like somewhere that's going to, like, bring people together, even though I only have 2 chairs, but we'll figure it out, you know?
You can always grow more. You can always get more chairs and grow the table.
I mean, for a long time, I was sitting on, like, for my first 2 weeks, I was sitting on the floor. And so right now I feel like I'm living quite the life of luxury with my table and chairs and my couch. But honestly, I wanted this space to just feel very much like myself. And again, it goes back to the whole thing of, like, I think that it's really cool to take inspiration from how other people design their homes or their lives or whatever you might see on the internet. But at the same time, there's nothing quite like being yourself, and there's nothing quite like finding and defining your person. And I think that it's really something, again, that I've taught myself in the last few years, is that, like, it's really cool to be able to watch and see how other people live their life, but it's also really cool to live your own life and to find things that feel like you, not because you, I mean, yes, it's great to pull inspiration. I will never hate on inspiration, but I'm saying there's a difference between finding inspiration that feels like you, and then you bring it and you bring your own flair to it. And there's a difference between finding inspiration and trying to, like, kind of find a way to piece it into your life that doesn't feel right. And I think that that's in so many aspects of your life. Like, in my home decoration, like, does this feel like me? Like, when people walk into this space, I want them to feel like it's me. And when I walk into this space, I want it to feel like it's me. And when people see me on Instagram, like, I want them to know that that's true to myself, and that what I'm posting, sharing, creating, how I'm setting up my life is true to me, because Why would I not want it to be? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really cool to find inspiration in my own life. And that's something that I've been doing a lot of work on lately, is finding inspiration in my own life.
Like, being your own inspiration. And it's like this whole decorating your own apartment, finding your own apartment, doing all this is almost like finding yourself. Like, what do I like? What are my interests? How do I want other people to portray me? How do I want to portray myself? And, like, your 20s.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And it's like your 20s are just like all of these emotions of who you want to be and how you want to live your life. And I think a lot of my followers on the weekend, I was talking about like finances and everything like that. And people are just like, I have no idea. Like, I didn't know I was supposed to start saving for retirement. I didn't know this. I'm like, me neither. Like, we're all on this road together. And I think the more you know that, and like, it just makes you feel less alone. Because I think for like the longest time, I used to be like, am I the only one who feels like lost? Am I the only one who feels like maybe freaking out 10 times a day? And I have to calm myself down because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I think we're all just winging it.
I think we're all just winging it. I think that's very accurate. No, I 100% like so deeply relate to what you just said in like so many shapes and forms at the moment, just because I think that there's a lot of life that nobody prepares you for until you're doing it on your own. Like there's just so many small things that like I've had to do and start and set up. But the thing that I'm trying to continue to remind myself like day in, day out, like as things are getting, you know, set up in my life, that like I'm at the moment of defining my life for myself. Like, and again, like I'm single right now. I live alone. I work for myself. And I mean, in all ways, shapes and forms, like I get to decide who I am for me and nobody else at the moment, which is again, my first time in my life that I've completely been independent and lived on my own, or done things on my own. And I think that finding peace with who you are, especially when nobody's watching, is something that's so strange and difficult at the moment for me, is, you know, learning how to be alone, but learning how to be completely content and finding ways to make your life interesting for yourself is such a thing. But also like learning just to do things on your own because they're good for you and because it's healthy to do things on your own, like going for a walk down the street by myself, or learning to that I need to leave my house every day or else, like, you know, by the evening I'm not going to feel very mentally well. And you know, there's just so many things, and like financially setting myself up at the moment is something that's like quite the overwhelming task, because up until this point in my life, like I never really understood how expensive life is. Like I'm 22 years old. I went to college and then I moved home. And in that time, like I saved a lot of money. Yes, I spent a lot of money doing, you know, educating myself, doing all of these things. But at the same time, I've never truly had to budget and understand how things and money work. But again, it goes back to the whole thing of like, currently I'm setting my life up, and you know, I'm the only one that will discipline myself into this. And discipline for me is a huge form of like self-care and self-love, is showing yourself that discipline, because again, nobody else is going to do that for you. And like setting my life up at the moment is such a priority to me, and I'm not rushing it at all. But at the same time, like I'm also accepting my current reality of like, I need to teach myself and educate myself on how life works, and realize that there are things that I can do at the moment that will make me in the future really glad that I did.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's like getting back to the whole, like discovering just who you are is like the scariest thing. And it's like, we always are discovering who we are. We never really truly know exactly who we are. But I love that point that you made, that like, self-discipline is a form of self-care, because at the end of the day, like you said, if you want to do something, nobody is going to do it for you. So you just have to take like the bull by the horns and go after what you want. Like that's the only way you get what you want in life.
Yeah. And it's kind of the whole thing of like, if you say no to yourself, you're not giving anybody else a chance to say yes either. Like, and I think that goes for so many doors that we close on ourselves. And, you know, for me, like I closed the door on moving here to Portland for a long time because I was like, that's not practical. But then I started kind of opening up the different doors and being like, but why is it not practical? Like what's holding me back? And like realizing kind of too that in a lot of aspects in life, we hold ourselves back simply because I think we're scared, but also because we don't, we don't know how to navigate things. And instead of taking the time to learn how to navigate these things, we make excuses, which kind of take the same amount of energy as actually completing the task or going and doing the thing. It's like, it's literally life. I think that I'm realizing in my life that I can make excuses for why I don't do things, or I can just start to put the energy into learning and trying.
Mm-hmm. I think the most powerful thing is like when you know that you have control of everything and how it affects you and how you deal with everything, that's like the most empowering moment in your life. Because you're just like, okay, I can actually do anything if I'm willing to put in that work, if I'm willing to make those connections. And I will say that like networking is really important. In the social media world, if you're willing to just throw yourself out there, and I ask people to do podcasts all the time. Do I get emails back all the time that they want to do them? No. Am I offended? No. They probably just don't have time. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe I circle back around in like a few months, you know? And it's like, just because someone doesn't respond to you or they say no right away, it doesn't mean a no forever. It's like a no, not right now.
Yeah. And I think that that's the thing too, is I think running, which is, this is going to sound very strange, but I think that running your own, I mean, I guess you can say account or business or whatever you want to say, it's very personal, and it takes a while for you to learn that it's really not that personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when you're putting yourself out there as an individual, but also as a creative or creator or anything like that, when you're putting yourself out there, you're saying like, hey, every day, this is a reflection of me. This is who I am today. This is what I'm doing today. And so then when you start, you know, for example, wanting to working with brands or pitching yourself or, you know, connecting with other people, it feels really strange then to get a shut, like to get shut down a little bit, because you're like, wait a minute, like, this is me. Like, they don't like me. It's like, no, that's not always the truth. It's not that they don't like you. It's sometimes simply the fact that now is not your time or your moment, and you can circle back. And, you know, it's kind of taking the personal, but keeping the personal in certain aspects of your business, but also taking it out of other parts, like the ego. If you want to work for yourself, I feel like the ego needs to leave very, very, very quickly. Like, mm-hmm. You can't lead with your ego in this at all.
No, not at all. You just have to roll with any punches that come along the way. And just the biggest thing is just to keep grinding, literally just keep grinding. Because like I said, I read a quote the other day, and I think I posted actually on my Instagram stories. It was like, you don't know when your next breakthrough is going to happen. So just continue onwards and upwards. That's how I roll with everything in my life. But to clue up kind of our conversation, which I very much enjoyed talking about all of the things in like our 20s and Instagram and all the things that basically people our age are dealing with, maybe minus the Instagram world. But I kind of want to know, what does it mean to you to be a creator?
Ooh, man, that's a very good question. Wow. What does it mean to me to be a creator? I think that for me, I always limited myself saying that I wasn't creative and I wasn't artistic and I didn't do things. But I think that to me, being a creator just means doing and means sharing and means putting yourself out there. Like, I think that everybody has something to share. And I think that everybody is a creator and everyone inspires somebody else in their own way. Like, it's not even that you have to put yourself out there on social media, but like, it's the concept that like, and I'm using air quotes, that everyone's an influencer. And I think that you just can't doubt your impact. And to be a creator means to continue to pursue sharing and being honest with yourself. And I think that being a creator is to be inspiring yourself continually and to be educating yourself continually. And to just, I think perseverance has a lot to do with being a creator as well. Like, continuing to do and continuing to create regardless of seeing, I guess you could say, results or success. I think that to me is being a creator, creating regardless of who's watching, just because you're passionate about what you're doing is being a creator to me.
I love that. Especially the whole, like, I think so many people focus on the numbers aspect of it, and it definitely can become like what makes people drives people to continue to create. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be proud of your work, and you have to be proud of what you're putting out there. And if you're not, the numbers aren't going to mean anything to you.
Exactly. And I think that's such a valid and such an important point to make, is that, like, if you aren't happy with what you're creating, it doesn't matter. The numbers will never matter to you, and they'll never be enough for you. Because until you're perfectly content, and I think, again, that it takes time to find your style, your pattern, whatever it might be, that makes you feel like you're being an authentic creator to yourself. But until you're happy with what you're creating, you're not gonna feel like, put things out there that mean something to you. And if people connect with that, then that's your community. I think that a lot of times we put ourselves out there in some form of a box that we feel like we got to fit into, because that's what everybody else that's successful in the space that you're, I guess, creating in is doing. And I think that that's just a really sad way to put yourself out there, honestly, because, I mean, you know, as cheesy, I guess, as it sounds, but, like, the world does need what you have. Like, you have this unique individual story to share. And if we're too busy trying to chisel away the pieces of us that make us us, then we're all going to be watching the same exact thing play out time and time again. And that doesn't make you, like, unique or special or authentic. And so I think it's about just learning to share your own story.
Mm-hmm. And I think that takes forever to get to, because, like, when I rolled into Instagram, I'm like looking back at my old pictures, I'm like, I had no idea what I was at. I'm still trying to figure it out, still trying to figure out my voice, what excites me, what I want to share. And, like,
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, but for me, like, I know what I love sharing is, like, personal moments in my life, personal stories, because I'm like, I think everyone can kind of connect to this little piece of, you know, my writing, hopefully. So it's just literally keep on rolling with the punches, keep creating every single day. And I think just good things will come. You'll have maybe, you know, you have a small community, but you have a community that wants to support you. But I'm going to wrap this up here. And I really want to thank you for coming on. We've had such an amazing conversation.
Thank you for having me. I absolutely love being on here.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to tuning into this episode. If you guys could share it on Instagram or with your friends and family in real life, because truly nothing better than that, I would be very appreciative of that. And I'm going to leave all of my information to my amazing guests on the show notes. I'm going to be back in your ears real soon, and I hope you guys have a great week.